The scripture reading for the lesson is Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 130, 1 through 8, the New King James Version. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him the abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Morning. Good to see you all out this morning on this 12-degree weather that we have. So it's nice to see everyone out. It shows your care and your love for the Lord that you would show up on this day, this first day of the week, on this cold morning. So your love has outweighed the coldness, and that's a good thing. This morning I wanted to talk a little bit on, as you see behind me, hope, and then in parentheses, hope in the Lord. As you have read, and as Andrew has read, and I appreciate your reading, Andrew, and I appreciate Monty's prayer for me that I may remember and that I may be able to speak in such a way that's understandable, that would make it easy for you to understand God's Word. There's come about, I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, and then something else come up that made even more evident that maybe talk on hope, because we in this United States have a lot of people that commit suicide, and I keep asking myself, and we probably will never understand why someone comes to that point where there's nothing else worth living for. And the only conclusion that I can come to, and maybe someone could help me come to a different conclusion, is there's no hope for anything. There's nothing that will to look forward to. Even though they may have family, children, relatives, there's no hope. There's nothing to hope in, because they've tried everything and those things did not pan out. They've maybe tried several different jobs, went to several different doctors or whatever. And now, in our great infinite wisdom, we have pills to help you overcome those things, those depressions and things, which maybe there is some chemical imbalance in the brain that you need some medication for. But I just wonder if everybody would hope and hope in the Lord, if a lot of that would go away.
Amen.
Yeah. And another thing came... has come up, it happened 9/11. And there is I put it on my phone so I could remember it, or not remember it, but read part of it to you. And I won't read the whole thing. But there's a song that was written maybe within a few hours after that, and it's by a country singer that I like a lot, is Alan Jackson. He said, "Where were you?" And I want to read a little bit of that, and then what he says at the end of his song. The first verse says, "Where were you when the world stopped turning? That September day. Were you in the yard with your wife and children? Or were you working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout in anger or in fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children they lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know. Did you rejoice for the people who walked away from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters?" And then he goes on down And part I want to get into is, he said, did you dust off your Bible at home? Did you open your eyes and hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset for the first time in ages and speak to someone, some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night and think of tomorrow? Go out and buy a gun? Did you turn off your violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Then he goes on down, and at the end of the song, it goes, and I remember this from when I was young, faith, hope, love, some of these things he gave us, and the greatest is love. But he hoped, there in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and 13th verse. Yeah, excuse me. And then let's go over to that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he talks about that, Paul does, to the Corinthians as they were striving over miraculous gifts. Tongues, prophecy, trying to say tongues were the greatest, you know. Prophecy and everything. But Paul tells them there's something greater than that. And he talks about that love, and that'll be part of my sermon next Sunday morning also. But in that last verse, he says, but now faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And as he thinks about, we think about faith. We know our faith. We know what we believe in, and we're grounded firm in that faith. Our rock is our Lord. We believe that. But I want to deal with hope today. Do we still have that hope? And you know, as we look back to that tragic thing, accident, or not tragic, that tragic terror attack that was upon this country, probably every one of you that remember that can remember where you were at and what happened that day and what you thought. And it may still bother you as it does me. And I don't know why, but it does. But anyway, there's hope out there. And that's what we're going to look about today. For those that have no hope, there is hope. And we need to teach that to those that we come in contact with that has no hope. And I can think of a couple of people that are close to our family that struggle with that hope because they've tried work, different jobs, alcohol, pills, everything else. They're trying to find something to hope in. But you still talk to them, but they still don't hope in it. You still try to explain to them, hey, there's something better than this. As we taught in our class this morning, in John the 14th chapter, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's comforting his disciples. He's giving them hope to hope in. So that's what I want to look at this morning. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. And it'll give a few comments here, and then the lesson will be yours. I have a verse out of the Old Testament, or a few verses out of the Old Testament I want to read in closing that will give us a little better idea and hopeful for us. In Romans, the 5th chapter, and beginning in verse 1, we kind of look here. Paul is talking to these Romans Christians and said, I'm going to come to you later on. That's what he's kind of. But first of all, he brought some things to their attention. So justification, purification, things that they were not kind of grasping. And also he talks about that all men have sinned and fallen short of glory. He's wanting to say there is a reason that these people are not being justified. They're not looking for something. They need to look for that Christ and be justified from him. They're justified by him. And we find that faith, we're justified by our faith. But here in the 5th chapter, because he has explained this in the first 4 chapters, or, well, actually 3 and 4. And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, therefore, in other words, here is the reason. He said, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, coming to the realization that you've been justified, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified, your sins have been taken away, you now have peace in the one who has done that for you. And that is in Christ Jesus. He says, through whom, in verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace into which we stand, and we exalt in glory and hope of the glory of God. In other words, we rejoice in that glory, in that hope. In other words, he's talking, he said, that hope now, think about hope here. It's set here. He said, we've been introduced into grace by our faith. Because we've been saved by faith through, saved by grace through our faith, through faith. And he said, now we're going to rejoice in that hope because, hey, there's something else there. There's something greater, something we're going to look for. We're going to rejoice or we're going to exalt in that hope of, in that hope. And that's what he's talking about, and that's what I want to keep here. It's in the Lord that we're going to gain that hope. That's where we're going to get hope that's going to withstand everything. It's going to overcome everything. And verse 3 says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, or approvedness, and proven character, hope. Well, think back at that day when that happened. What? How did the people of the country change? It changed a lot, didn't it? They finally said, well, wait a minute, we got hope in something. There is something greater to hope in. And they looked to people they hadn't even talked to for years. And they started being maybe forgiving someone because they realized how close death is and how it can happen in a twinkling of an eye. And that day, it happened so fast that everybody stood in amazement. What happened? Didn't understand what happened. How could it happen? Because we in this country have never been affected except for Pearl Harbor by something of that magnitude of another country attacking this country. So, yeah, we stood in awe. What happened? And then what had happened? They said, Paul says, hey, these things happen for a reason. Now, I'm not going to say he said this 9/11 happened for some certain reason, but the effect of it did something. It changed the country for a few months. They began to stand for the flag, for the country. Now, certainly we see now, 11 years later, it's kind of went the other direction again. Or 17 years later, I'm sorry, not 11 years, 17 years later, it kind of went the other way. But at one time, there was a hope there. Now, we see, he says, rejoice in your tribulations. Well, James says the same thing. In the first chapter there, it says, rejoice, or count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials, or temptations or trials, tests. Count it all joy. Because what's going to bring about? It's going to bring about a patience or a perseverance. It's going to make that hope that you have, you're going to persevere because you know there's something greater looking ahead of you. Amen. Yeah, that may be rough. It may be hard. And that day, it was hard. For not only the families that lost members, but for the country that lost 3,000 of their own brothers and sisters. So it was hard. But what did it do? It turned people around. They opened their Bibles. The churches were, and I'm just saying, churches in general were filled up the next Sunday morning. If you can remember what happened, I mean, Bush went to church that day, and there were so many, or the next Sunday, and there were so many people around. There is some hope revived back into the country. So it caused something. It helped something. And it brought about patience. Okay, we're going to be patient with one another. We're going to be patient with what tribulations we fall into. And he goes on down. He says, it brings about, this perseverance is going to bring back a proven character. And you think, well, what kind of proven character? Or approvedness, as the King James says, or in the American Standard. This character is going to be approved of God. This perseverance that you've done, that you put through, is going to be approved of God. What happened to Abraham when he took Isaac and laid him up on the altar to be a sacrifice? He was tested to see whether he would believe in God. Believe that God would raise up that one because he had already promised him through Isaac, your seed's going to be blessed, or the seed of the world's going to be blessed. All mankind's going to be blessed through that seed. Well, if you think about it, well, Abraham didn't believe. He said, well, I killed my son. How's that going to come about? Well, he believed that God could raise him back up. So he had faith. And that faith that he had and that hope that he had was counted to him as righteousness. The same it would be for us once we go through a trial and overcome that trial and are approved of God because we did overcome that trial and what tribulation that we were in. That proves our character. And he says, but that character is proven. What's it bring about? It brings about hope because we're looking for something at the end. There's not going to be an end for us. There's going to be something that's we're waiting for. And if we go over in the 8th chapter of Romans, we'll see what else he talks about concerning that hope. But that hope is something we need. Man needs something to hope in. Or he'll wander aimlessly, searching for everything. And as Paul talked to Timothy, he said, they're going to be searching for things in philosophy, in things that we know today as movies, books, things that are not going to mean anything. And remember what Solomon said about, he said, there may be thousands and thousands of books that you read upon. But he said, it's not going to be any good. He said, what do you need to do? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And that's what he's talking about. That gives us hope. And us as parents, as grandparents, teach these children that there is something to hope in. They're not going to find it in their education. Yes, education's good. I'm not denying that. Movies, books, whatever it may be, games, video games. There's not no hope in those things. They go away. They'll turn to dust, and they won't last. But that hope, if you hope in the Lord, there is a reward for that. And it's ultimate victory in Jesus. Let's go over to, on down to the 5th verse here. He says, and hope does not disappoint. We're not going to be disappointed in our hope because at the end, when we cross from this world into the next world, we're going to see that hope. It's going to be visualized. We're going to see him whom we've served throughout our lives. So it's not going to be disappointed. It's not going to be something that we're not going to see. But we're going to be rewarded by it. And he says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us. So he says, it's not going to be disappointed because why? I've given you a pledge. I've given you a guarantee that this is going to happen. And who is that guarantee? It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He said, I've given him to the Christian as a pledge of this promise, of this hope, that this hope is going to come about. That you ain't going to have to worry about not seeing that hope. Because it's going to come about. Because I promise, and I'm going to give you my Spirit as a pledge. He talks about that in the first chapter of Ephesians, the 14th verse, that he's given the Spirit as a pledge for our inheritance, a guarantee of our inheritance. And that inheritance goes back to the 14th chapter of John, where he says, I'm going to make a dwelling place for you. And as we look on down, he says, it's because of the love of God that he has for mankind. And for those who have been obedient, he's given that Spirit. And if 6th verse said, and he goes on in others, he'd say, okay, because, now listen, because, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 7, he said, for one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So he's saying, we were enemies. When sin, Christ died for his enemies. And it's through his blood that we were reconciled back to God. We were apart from God. We were separated from God. But when he died on that cross and that blood was shed, mankind was reconciled back to him. Not God reconciled to man, but man reconciled to God. We came back in the right state that we should be in. So there's hope there. Because through the blood of Christ, we have hope. Let's look over in the 8th chapter of Romans. We'll slide over to like the 16th verse. It says in verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So this to kind of give you an idea of what he's talking about here. In this chapter, he's talking about that deliverance from the bondage of sin. And it was through Christ that we had been delivered from that bondage. If we think about the children of Israel, God brought them out of bondage into a new land. As he brings us out of bondage into a new life. You get in verse 17, it says, now, children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Did he say what? That we may suffer with him. He said, we're going to be heirs. If we're children, then we're fellow heirs. And we know and realize what heirs are. In this life, a loved one passes away, they leave whatever they have to their heirs. Christ died and was raised again to die no more. And we became his children. So we are fellow heirs now with him. We're going to receive that reward too in the end. And as he goes on down in verse 18, this is one verse I want to get you to look at. Because this, it talks about this hope. If we have this hope, we don't have to worry about anything. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we sometimes say, boy, I don't. Some of these things we go through, it's pretty tough. And you think about that day back on 9/11. That was pretty rough to go through. Pretty rough to handle. They said, I don't compare those sufferings. They don't compare with what's going to be revealed in the end. So that's kind of way we need to look at. And people that need hope, there is that hope there. So this, what's going to happen in verse 18 or 19, it says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Remember, he said, even creation is suffering. And we know in the time of Noah, creation suffered because of the sin of man. And how did it suffer? God flooded the earth and destroyed it, destroyed nature. And if you think about the time of the children of Israel, in Judah, Israel, any other countries that were destroyed, nature was destroyed also. But he's saying, he's kind of bringing them along with, kind of giving the idea, hey, they're suffering. But look at this verse 21. It says that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery. There's going to come a time when it's set free. There's no longer going to be sin upon that earth. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be taken away. In verse 22, he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So we're eagerly waiting for something. Man is eagerly waiting for something. Some men do not know what they're waiting for. But in verse 24, it tells us what we're waiting for. It says, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is not seen is not hope. If you see it, you can't hope for something you see. You have to hope for something that you don't see. And that's what Paul's telling you. He says, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So we're waiting for that. And once we receive it, we have victory. And our hope is realized. It comes to fruition. We see that hope. It's brought forth about us. So today, as you think about hope, and you think about and people around you that you know that are suffering, that have no hope for anything, maybe you can impart just a little bit of this lesson or any lesson from God's Word and say, hey, there is something to hope for. These things that you're trying aren't going to help you. But I have a Savior that will help you, that you'll have victory through Him. He came to this world for that reason, to give you hope. And you look in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, those men and women of old time of faith, they hoped for something. They were longing to look for that kingdom and never did realize it. But they were hoping for something, and they looked forward to that. Abraham journeyed throughout the land of Canaan with hope, knowing that God would fulfill his promises. And we too can have that hope. We too can have hope through our tribulations. We can persevere through it. We can make our character proven or approved to God. And then our hope will be completed in the end. And remember, and tell people, most of all, you have victory in Jesus. That's who you're going to have victory. If you put your hope in the Lord, you're going to have that victory. In closing, I want to read from Isaiah, the 48th chapter. And nice picking of songs there, Rich. That song you picked there. And that verse comes right with it. 48th chapter and verse 17. Or 16. It says, come near to me. Listen to this. And this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah about the promise of them being delivered. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me in his Spirit. Thus the Lord says, Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut or off or destroyed from my presence. Go forth from Babylon, free from the Chaldeans, declare with the sound of joyful shouting, proclaim this, send it out to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. So, these verses here, read them. He's our Redeemer. If we would listen to him and do what he wants us to do, then we can have hope. And we will be able to overcome everything. And we can look in the last chapter of Revelation and see what John says. It says, Lord, do what? Come quickly. I'm ready for you. Are you ready for the Lord today? Have you been buried in baptism? Are you prepared? Is your hope in the Lord? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have no hope. If you're a Christian and you've kind of looked to the worldly things to help you through your tribulations, through your trials, and you've not hoped in the Lord, today you can do that. So today you say, away with all those worldly things. Let me take back the Lord. He's going to be my Redeemer. He's going to be the one I put my hope in, the one that I'm going to stand firm in and be with him throughout eternity. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?